Hi, this is Adam Amin, and you're listening to Squash Masters, a junior squash podcast. In this podcast, we'll be interviewing junior squash players and coaches for their tips, tricks, and interesting stories. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. Welcome back to another episode of the Squash Masters podcast. On today's episode, we have a big role model of mine, current world number one, Ali Farooq. Let's get right into the interview. When did you start playing squash and why did you start?
When I started, I believe at the age of 5 or 6, because my dad used to play for fun with his friends, and then my elder brother, when he used to go with him, they found out that he was very talented, so he just got into the sport. And then my elder brother, since I was very young until this very day, has been my role model, and I used to do whatever he used to do. So I just followed suit, and I remember falling in love with the game from the very first second, and then nobody really forced me to play. I just, on the contrary, they were dragging me off court to just finish my training to go back to studying or whatever I had to do. So yeah, I remember falling in love with the game from the very first minute.
Why do you think you fell in love with the game so early on?
Good question. I actually don't know. I mean, now I can tell you why I love squash so much, just because of how much it requires you to be on the top of the game. You know, it requires fitness, it requires stamina, it requires skill, obviously, mental toughness, character, of course. And then I just love the fact that we play in a closed space, so you just have to outsmart your opponent. You can outpace them, but you can't really outfight them, if that makes sense. You know, be smarter. And I love this, as they call it, chess on legs, you know. But from the very beginning, I don't know, maybe as I told you, because my brother used to play it, so I just wanted to be like him. And then also it fed off my competitive spirit. You know, I've always been very competitive, and I just found myself in it, and I never looked back really.
What do you remember about your first junior tournament? Was it good? Was it bad?
It was actually very good. I remember playing maybe when I was 7 or 8, and I was playing at my local club, and it was under 11, so I was playing a 10-year-old guy the first round. I even remember his name still. And I won the first game, which made me very excited, but then I got crushed actually in the next three. But I remember just the experience of playing a competitive match. Obviously, we did play like qualifications in my club, but then a nationwide tournament I never participated in. And just the adrenaline and things that you can't really replicate in practice just felt amazing, even though I lost. And I could already see myself like playing like this for years to come.
Wow. What do you remember about your first pro tournament?
Pro tournament? Well, I mean, it depends on how you define a pro tournament. I mean, I played one as a local in Egypt when I was 15 years of age. I played against Simon Rosner, actually. Obviously, I got crushed as well. But I wasn't professional at the time, you know. They just snuck me in as a local. But my first pro tournament as a... I wasn't a full-time at the time, but I registered on the PSA World Tour. It was in Hong Kong in July of 2009. And I actually did a lot better than I expected. I made it through the qualifications, and then I played against Siddharth Sujda, or Siddharth. I don't exactly remember his family name. An Indian guy who was number 100 in the world at the time, and I didn't know where I stood in terms of rankings, and I was able to beat him in 5, actually, which was a huge surprise to me. And then I lost to Leo Au in the quarterfinals in Hong Kong, but it was a very fruitful tournament for me as well.
Yeah. Did you ever play any other sports when you were younger?
I did play... I never played anything more than a year, let's say. I mean, I wasn't good at swimming, so my parents, especially my mom, forced me to go to my swimming training so that I can learn it. And I played tennis before I played squash, because my granddad used to play, and he would take myself and my brother and go together. And that's it, really. I mean, squash since I was 6 or 7, and then from 8 or 9, it was squash and only squash.
How did going to college in the U or going to university in the US change your mindset in squash and how you play?
Good question. I mean, it changed everything, really. You know, a lot of people, I never really thought that I was going to go pro, but a lot of people think that actually slowed down my progress as a professional squash player, mm-hmm. because I didn't start the full-time professional squash tour until I was 22 years of age, maybe even almost 23. But, you know, it made me grow as a person big time, especially because of my teammates, and especially because of Mike Way. You know, Mike Way, the Harvard head coach, he is unbelievable at just putting things into perspective, like life in general, not just squash. Made me grow as a person. He made me focus on the things I can only control, you know, rather than focus on how my opponent is acting, or how the referee is taking decisions, or how the day has gone by, you know. Just given the circumstances, just focus on things you can control. And that, until this very day, helps me a lot. And I guess if I go back in time 100 times, not only for squash reasons, I would go to college 101 times.
Mm-hmm. Before the pandemic, how many times between tournaments did you play a day/week?
Well, it really depends, you know. Sometimes you have a very heavy schedule where you'd play two or even three tournaments back to back, and right after you come back, you just want to slow it down, not only physically, but because mentally you want to keep this hunger going. You know, you don't want to keep playing and just let it become a routine job. You know, you always want to stay hungry, because at the top of the game, it's just, if you're 99% hungry rather than 100%, you're just gonna get eaten by your opponents. You know, so. But if I have enough time, like 2 or 3 weeks, I would have a regular routine week, you know. I would play, like, from Saturday to Thursday, I would do a fitness session in the morning, and then I would either solo or play with my coach afterwards, and then I would go back, have lunch and take a nap, and then I would come back again in the evening for match play with one of my fellow countrymen, you know. And that's the beauty of Egypt. We have so many good Egyptian players to play with. And then I'll take Thursday evening off, and then all of Friday off, and then again.
So during the pandemic, when you were stuck at home, how did you stay physically and mentally fit?
Well, I was very naive to start with. You know, when they first suspended the tour, they were hopeful that we'd be back by May or June. Mm-hmm. So was I. So I actually kept, obviously the clubs were closed, so I could only work out at my home. I bought equipment, and I made my own small gym at home with a stationary bike and a treadmill and a few weights and dumbbells. And I was actually doing two sessions a day for the first, I want to say, month and a half. Yeah, exactly month and a half. I was hoping that things were going to come back as soon as possible, and then the reality started hitting me, and then Ramadan came, and I was fasting, and I couldn't do twice a day anymore, so I was just I slowed it down in Ramadan a little, and then after Ramadan, which was about end of May, beginning of June, I went back into the groove again of one session a day, and then gradually I went back to two sessions a day, and then on July 1st the clubs reopened, and we were able to play squash. So, I mean, it was gradual. But I have to be honest with you. Sometimes I just lost my motivation, especially during that Ramadan period. I didn't see the reason of working so hard. And you know, as I told you, you know, hunger is something that you have to always keep intact, and you don't want to lose it. So you don't want to keep training really hard without really a goal in sight. So I just slowed it down, and then I got back into my groove again after Ramadan.
I know that Mike Way is very heavy on, like, mental training. Did that carry on into your professional career?
Very much so. And from my perspective, I think it did carry on very heavily. From Mike's perspective, he thinks that I'm not doing enough, obviously. Mike never thinks I'm doing enough. You know, Mike, as you said, he's... I mean, and I do agree with him. He believes that everything in life is more mental than skills, you know, like skills can be flourished by your mental toughness and mental readiness. You know, Mike doesn't like the word mental strength. He likes the word mental readiness, you know. I still do a lot of the things that he asks me to do. You know, I script everything I do every single day, you know, my training. I write down who I train with and what I learned from the day and what I should work on. And then before my matches, I visualize. After the matches, I talk to my coaches about how things have gone mentally, not only squash-wise. And and I still speak to Mike very, very, very regularly. So it's thanks to him, really, that I've really taken this this aspect of the game more professionally.
Yeah. What do you consider your best match where you just think like you were in the game and you played your best?
Well, a couple actually. One against Mohamed Ashrabagi at the US Open 2019, where I felt everything was working well. You know, and the good thing about it is it wasn't very extravagant squash where I played winners out of nowhere. It was structured squash that you feel like you can replicate again in further matches. And I think last week against Tarek Mohamed in the final, obviously he was not in the best physical condition because of the hard path he had through to the final. But I think I capitalized on it well, played well, and you know, even if Tarek is very tired, if you give him a sniff, he can be very dangerous and come back into the game. So I think I kept my composure well, and I played again very simple but structured squash that got me through. So. Those are the two matches that come to mind when I think of playing good squash.
What's your best comeback story on the court and outside of the court?
Comeback story on the court would probably be in the final of the Tournament of Champions 2019, January 2019. I was 2-0 down and 6-2 down against Mohamed Ashrabagi. And that match was the decider who's going to take the world number one spot by the end of the month. And against a warrior and a great champion like Muhammad, it's hard to come back. And it was I was able to do it, and that got me to the world number one for the first time in my life. So just I couldn't have written a better story, really. And off the court, I would have to go back to when I was 16 years of age and I started doing my IGCSEs, which were the equivalent of high school for the British system back then. I started losing to players that I was never used to. And I remember my parents were abroad, were on a vacation. And then I went back home and I was crying. And I told my brother, I don't want to play this game anymore. Just sell my rackets and I'm done with it. And then from this point on, my brother just told me, I believe in you. I just have so much faith in you. I'm going to be your coach from now on. And I know we can achieve your dream of becoming world junior champion. Because at the time, this was my end goal, really, for when it comes to squash. And then 2 weeks later, I was able to beat someone that I'd never beaten before. And obviously, he didn't change much technically. You can only change so much in 2 weeks. But he just ingrained that belief in myself. And from that point on, really, things started kicking on. I do remember this story with a lot of pride and a lot of gratefulness for my brother, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. If you were to play a match against a retired player, who would that retired player be and why?
I was asked this question actually recently, and I gave it a good thought, and it was Karim Darwish, because Karim is my mentor now, and I step on court with him two or three times a week at Wadi Degla clubs. You know, he's the sports director, and one of the main reasons I moved to Wadi Degla is to be associated with him and getting his advice. And we do play a lot with each other, obviously not regular games because he's not as fit as he used to be, but he's still as talented and as skillful with the racket. And we always tease each other who would be better in their prime. So it would be nice to just have played together.
What's your favorite shot that it in matches and annoy people with?
A couple, actually. One is the straight drive on the backhand side, because I think this is my go-to weapon. You know, I try to pin my opponents back on the backhand side and just try to volley as much as I can. And whenever I have confidence in that shot, I feel like I'll be able to execute my game plan. So I know it's not flashy, but this is why I'm not a flashy player. And the second one, I guess, would be, and it's something that I didn't really intentionally develop, but you know, it's become like a signature shot more or less, is when I'm when the ball is tight, drop shot on the backhand side, and I'm able to scrape it off the wall, lob on the other side. And I feel like so many times it either gets me out of trouble, or it even better, it gets me out of trouble and makes me on top of the rally. So I would say those two shots, yeah.
What's the shot that you always have trouble getting and that you like?
Trouble getting, it's probably the Gawe drop shot on the backhand side. You know, I've been playing with him for 20 years now. Yeah, we played maybe since we were 10 or something. So let's say 18 years. And I still struggle to read it. He mixes it up so well with the cross court and with a trickle boast and with a straight drive. And it's just so hard to read, really. And it becomes more of a gambling you know, you just try to guess. So better off is not to give him an easy shot on this side.
Yeah. What would you tell your 10-year-old self?
10-year-old self. That's a good question. I don't know. Keep doing what you're doing. You're going to go through a lot of obstacles, but it's going to pay off at the end, I guess. And even though if it didn't, it hadn't paid off, you know, at least you've learned so many things along the way. Even if I hadn't made it to the top of the squash world, at least it got me into Harvard. You know, like at the time, I wouldn't have known for sure. But, you know, if you do work hard and you keep going, something is going to pay off at some point, maybe even better than you thought it would. And and obviously, I do agree with the notion of just enjoying the game and stuff, but while enjoying, you have to give your very, very best. You know, you can just enjoy and go there to play for fun every single day. You know, you want to give your heart out, you want to be there with your full emotions, full thinking, and give it your very, very best.
Mm-hmm. As you just reached number one, what's your goal in 3, 5, and 7 years?
Well, 3, 5, and 7 years. Well, squash-related goal is obviously I want to try and stay on the top for as many months as I can, as many years as I can. And with that, I would like to help grow our sport, you know, the same way Roger Federer did to their tennis, and Muhammad Ali Clay did to his boxing, and Michael Jordan did to his basketball. You know, I think squash deserves a better place to where we are now. We are growing, but I would like to grow it even at a faster pace. And you know, with the right characters, with myself and the Sherbuggies and Gawed and Rosner, I feel like we do have something different to offer to young generations, and I hope you can keep doing this. And 5 or 7 years, I can't really tell you where I'll be. I'm not sure if I'll be still doing squash, if I'll be done with it, but I know in the long term, I just want to be working with my brother, you know, in our family business. I want to be learning something new. You know, I'm too curious to do squash my entire life. Squash has taught me so much, but I'm sure there are seas of other things to learn from as well. So I'd like to get into entrepreneurship and see where that path takes me.
Would you like to add any more questions?
Any more questions? Yeah, I'd like to ask you a question. How often do you train?
Right now or usually?
Yeah, usually.
Before the pandemic, I trained 5 times a week for an hour or an hour and a half.
Oh, that's nice.
And I also did an outside fitness training 3 times a week.
That's very good. That's very good. And you're enjoying it?
Yeah, I love it.
That's the most important thing. And thank you for doing this podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, if you enjoyed the episode, you can subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. As we try to grow the show, one way is for you guys to only share with just one friend who you think should listen to the show. Thank you.